Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Horror, Wine, and Crime with KK and Lo. Lo, how's it going on this Wednesday afternoon?
Hey, yo, hey. It's going pretty good. I am sitting here with you, getting ready to hear your tale, and looking out the window, my son and husband is hanging a wooden... It's a porch swing, but it's not for a porch. It'd be more hanging from a tree, but it's like a long wooden bench swing.
Oh, that's cute.
So, yeah, they're putting that in my front yard. So.
Oh, that'll look super cute in your front yard.
I know, and I can't wait for the weather to be warmer. I can sit out there with a book and maybe read, and then maybe my deer friends will come out, and I can give them peanuts or vegetables or whatever deer like.
Oh, what a vibe. That just sounds like a vibe.
Well, you have to come over and vibe with me. I know you don't like to read, but you can lay with your head on a pillow and I'll just read to you.
Oh, okay. I'm down for that. Yeah, I can do the audio listening type things for the book. But yeah, the actual reading sometimes is just not on my radar.
Right.
Or if you're wanting to silently read, I could just scroll social media. Just have my brain rot away while yours is getting bigger.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
I did want to say too, before we started, I've been seeing videos. So I guess like Alec Baldwin and his wife, Hilaria. And, like, their kids have a new reality show.
Okay.
And all this stuff is coming out about his wife, which is actually kind of funny because she seems kind of, like, rude to him, like, in the interactions that I've seen. But I don't think he's, like, the nicest person either. But this stuff is coming out about her because she, you know, her name's, like, Hilaria, and she has an accent, and she's very, like... proud of her Hispanic roots or whatever. But then all this stuff came out about her. Like, she's from Boston and her name was Hillary and she changed it to Hilaria. And, like, she doesn't have a Spanish accent, but sometimes she, like, makes it sound like she does. And it's just, like, a lot of people are just making fun of her because it's just funny because she's tried to, like, make that her brand. But, like, it's actually not true at all.
Oh, my gosh. Why do people, like, just be you, man. Be yourself. Be who you are.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, you know, you can change certain things about yourself, but like, those are like true facts. Like, you can't really change that.
And I don't think the Baldwins need any more unwanted like attention on that family of any of them.
I mean, Haley, I was so shocked.
Haley does enough.
Literally. Like, I was shocked that like, he would do a reality show just because he's such a famous actor, you know.
Well, it's that, and you said it was Alec.
I mean, I'm not gonna watch, I don't think.
After the lawsuit he just got out of and everything.
That's true. Yeah, maybe he thinks this will like repair his image or something. We'll see.
Who knows?
I mean, the focus is on his wife now, so at least it's off him, I guess, for his sake.
Oh my gosh. Well, my little celebrity gossip news was like Lizzo is kind of stepping in it again.
Oh, I know.
She must not have got the memo. There are certain fans you don't mess with, and it's Taylor fans, Britney fans, and Selena fans. Those three, those groups, yeah, those women.
Those really don't want to.
Those queens have their people, and those are ones that you don't come after.
No, I feel like that's just a rule that everybody should know at this point.
Yeah, and she went after Britney, which I don't really understand why, because somebody can compare her to Janet Jackson and saying that Britney was the pop queen. And it's like, Janet Jackson was two, but I mean, isn't there room for the platform for more than one? And it was different generations. So while Britney was probably dancing to Janet Jackson in her room at the age of like 10, like we all were, well, maybe not quite you, but we all were. And like now other people will look up, you know, it just, I don't know. I feel like it's just like, and then Britney has her people that looked up to her, and it's just the circle of life. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
it's just how it goes. People get like inspiration from the artists that they like grow up listening to and following, and then they kind of make their own path with it or whatever, even if they're inspired.
And I feel like Madonna, yes, she was considered the queen of pop, and she was a pop icon. Do I consider one now? Probably not. I feel like it's now to the younger generation to where Madonna is still recognized as, I think you kind of graduate from pop queen to now she's marked as iconic. You know what I mean?
Oh,
Like
for sure.
an icon now, you
Yeah.
know? Like she
100%.
graduates, you know, like
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like Lizzo just has not had a good run with her media presence the last couple years.
No, and she even said in the article that she has a problem with social media because she keeps stepping in it with people. And especially after the sexual harassment lawsuit and all that
Yeah.
stuff, like, I don't know. People are just like, dude, you need to stop. Like, your album, like, no one even knows your new song. Like, it obviously was not that big of a hit. Like,
Yeah, I think it tanked. Like, I haven't heard anything about it. I've seen her like on like TikTok clips and stuff, but other than that, I feel like her music is not popping off like it once was.
yeah.
And it's probably has to do with like her presence on social media and stuff, but I mean, who knows? Or maybe it's just not good. I haven't listened to it, so I have no idea.
I haven't heard it, so I'll have to look it up.
Yeah. That's funny. I didn't even know she had new music out.
Yeah.
I know she was, I saw her on a thing, a podcast or whatever, talking about, because I guess she like lost a bunch of weight or something. And people were like accusing her of using one of those medications. I don't know. There's a few different ones,
Which is
but like
kind of
the,
dumb because probably every celebrity uses it.
right.
So
Yeah.
who
And
cares?
that's what I'm saying. Like, who cares if someone does? Like whatever. If they want it, if someone wants to use that, that's their own business and prerogative. And it's like, who cares? But yeah, people were like making that a huge deal, and she was talking about it or whatever. But yeah, I've seen her recently. But yeah, definitely haven't heard anything about her music. I think that was it on the celebrity front that I've really noticed. I mean, of course, JB all over TMZ constantly, but old news, really. Old news turned into new news.
Right. The whole Haley and Justin's basically just losing his shit because Selena's married to Benny now.
Yeah. Everyone's, if I see someone like a video, people will say, like, if there's a negative comment about Benny somewhere, everyone keeps saying, like, oh, that's Justin's fake account. That's Justin's secret
Oh my
account.
gosh.
I've like seen people make that a trend, which is funny.
I'm sorry. Justin and Selena broke up like how many moons ago? Can we please move on? I mean,
Literally.
it wasn't even this big when Brittany and Justin broke up and they were cuter.
I know. Yeah, it's been like he's been married for like 6 or 7 years now, and they have a
Married with a
baby.
baby. He's got a baby now
Yeah.
too. Like,
Right. Like
but
let's drop it. But like the internet, I feel like we'll never let go of that.
they still hold out hope that those two will be
Oh yeah.
reconnected.
Yeah. And I don't see that happening.
Can you
Like,
imagine when they're like 70 and 80 years old? They're like, we decided it was meant to be for us.
that would actually break the internet, I think. That would be like the biggest news ever.
Oh
That's
man.
funny.
Like, let it go,
Yeah.
people. People break up, okay? Like, people
Yeah,
move
it
on.
happens. Literally. They act like it's some shocking thing, but it's definitely not. But yeah, that was all the I guess hot topics really that I've noticed going on.
Okay, well, what hot topic of our main course do you have today?
So yes, we're going to be talking about Pat Tate and the Essex murders. Now I got all my info from True Crime Database. So the main person we're obviously talking about is Pat, but he was involved and had to do with these oh my gosh, I can't even say it, Essex murders that took place in England. And so they kind of like intertwine together, if that makes sense.
Okay,
So it's
well,
super. Go ahead.
sorry. I think it's with the
No,
lag,
you.
it screws us up. We have some lagging issues once in a while here. I was just going to say, make a joke and just kind of say, if it doesn't make sense, Crystal's going to make it make sense.
I'm gonna try my darndest. So, yeah, definitely gonna be a lot of violence, dealing with drugs and murders, things of that nature for this story. We'll kind of go back and talk about Pat's history, how he kind of got involved in all of this. But yeah, so he was born in 1958 on January 5th in Basildon, Essex, England. And his affiliation with the Essex Boys was kind of a big deal in this, and they were a drug dealing gang that operated in, you guessed it, Essex. So he was definitely a key member of this gang. They were involved in a lot of drug dealings and trafficking and just the overall violent criminal activities. Basically, what you would expect when you hear the word gang.
Yeah, it doesn't sound soft.
Yeah, not at all. But before he was involved with this gang, the Essex Boys, he had his own, personal criminal record going on. He had like an armed robbery conviction and a few other violent crimes as well. So it's not like you can't really blame the gang for how Pat turned out. Just kind of was already on that way, if that makes sense. But yeah, he served multiple prison sentences for v those various things just throughout his life. So also, just to note, this case is like huge in the UK. They made like books and films and documentaries, like a bunch of them have been made about these events. So if you're in England, you probably know this story, but it's not super popular or, well known over here in the States. So like I said, he was born in 1958 in Essex, and he definitely just seemed to be born with a violent nature. By the time of his death, just at the age of 37, Tate, who was 6'2" and weighed 18 stone in England, which is 252 pounds. So
Okay,
he was
yeah. Sounds like a big boy.
definitely big guy. So he probably had that intimidation factor to him as well, which probably aided him in his crimes that he would do. He would really use it to intimidate anyone who tried to get in his way. Now, like I said, he did have an extensive criminal record, including convictions for drug offenses, armed robbery, and once he escaped from a courthouse, which is funny. And on December 30th, 1988, the 30-year-old Tate, he made a very dramatic escape. So, accused of robbery and possession of cocaine, he was a bodybuilder. and he stood before the court. He suddenly decided to just go at three police officers. They ended up getting injured, and he just made his way out of the court, just running out, trying to escape, and waiting for a motorcycle to pick him up that was driven by an accomplice of his.
Which is just, I'm on my way.
Which is just like, I feel like that would be such a sight to see, like this giant guy just beat up three police officers and then run out and jump on a motorcycle.
Like, what if it's like not even a motorcycle? Like, what if it's like their version of a motorcycle, but it's really like a little moped and it's like me.
That would be even funnier. I like that. I like that version better.
Me, I'm here. Me.
Like a little moped. Right. But yeah, one officer got a black eye. Another was kicked in the face. And yeah, just witnesses inside the courtroom really tried to impede the police attempts to restrain him, but clearly it did not work. And afterwards, there were roadblocks set up, but they all failed to trap Tate. So he was really getting away and, you know, trying to scurvy away successfully from them. Now, he had several tattoos. He was wearing a fawn top, light blue jeans, and a green sweatshirt. He fled to Spain, but was soon brought back when he made the mistake of going to Gibraltar. So they caught him. Pretty impressive, though, that he made it to Spain, I will say, on that moped.
Right.
But obviously,
gas mileage.
Right. Obviously didn't work out too well in his favor, though. So he was sentenced to 7 years imprisonment. And while he was there, he spent his time just working on his bodybuilding. And by this time, he started taking drugs. He obviously, like I said, already was a violent person. So like we said, I think it was like last episode, Lo said, drugs don't help anger. So
it really doesn't. It tends to make things worse.
Yeah, definitely not a good combo. And that was kind of the case with Pat as well. And according to Bernard O'Mahony, who was a former member of the Canning Town firm, he said that Tate suffered from a drug problem. He said it was a real drug addiction. And upon his release on parole, he survived an attempt on his life when a hitman threw a brick through his bathroom window and shot him in the arm. Tate was rushed to the hospital, and staff found that he had hidden a stash of drugs and a handgun under his pillow.
Why didn't they just shoot him through the window? Why throw a brick and then shoot him?
They really wanted to make sure it would go through, I guess.
Just curious.
So isn't this like just so far like kind of funny? Like there's just so many things like happening where I'm like, what? This is kind of like ridiculous, but
sometimes they yeah. be like that.
he had a wild life. But due to this, his license was immediately taken away, and he was, of course, sent back to prison. Now, one man, Stephen Ellis, was questioned over the assault, but soon fled to the West County under a new identity, where he took body armor that he was wearing just out of fear, because he was probably scared to get beat up by Mr. Tate. Now his
never be too careful.
Yeah. He did have a secondhand car business, and it was taken over by his friend Tony Tucker, who originally gave him a job in his operation for when he's released from prison. And Tucker was running a drug franchise operation and offered Pat a position with that. So basically, like, you can work at my used car dealership if I can work at your drug operation. Fair trade.
Yeah.
But by this time, Pat had a 2-year-old son. His name was Jack, with his girlfriend Sarah Saunders. She suffered a lot of violence. There was a lot of domestic violence in their relationship. And the couple split not long after his release from prison. Now, the officer O'Mahony said, "Look at Tate. He came out after 6 or 7 years inside, and within 5 months, he was shot. 6 weeks after that, he was shot dead. 6 months, he'd been out, and he was shot twice. I'm 60, and I've never been shot." Yeah, he was definitely a target, but he kind of brought it upon himself with all of his dealings that he did. Like, he was even described by his own mother as a liability who was often high on drugs. She said he was paranoid and unpredictable. And yeah, he definitely just kind of went off the deep end when he would take these drugs, which was pretty often. So his life got kind of insane.
But isn't this kind of like a apple fall from the tree?
Right. Yeah. You know, makes sense.
I mean, when you're like quoted by his mom, who is also often high.
Right. Makes sense then. The night before Pat was murdered at Redditon, he had called the London Pizza Company and he aggressively demanded a specialty pizza made with four different toppings on each quarter. The manager, who was a 21-year-old, Roger Ryle, he said he was super busy at this point and was just annoyed by the caller's attitude, and so he hung up, and that pissed Tate off. And he decided to go up to the store because he did not like being hung up on when he was trying to order his pizza. So he picked up the like cash register, smashed it against the wall, and then punched the worker and smashed his head into a glass plate on the sink of the bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah. So definitely a scary situation. We're just kind of painting the picture, if that makes sense, of who Pat Tate was for you.
I mean, did he get his pizza though? I mean,
He probably went back and grabbed it after he was done or took someone else's. Another ex-girlfriend of his, her name was Lizzie Fletcher. She provided statements about his behavior, which was on the evening before his murder. Just offering some insight into his activities and just state of mind during that time as well. And then she kind of goes over how the situation happened and how he was just acting berserk and on drugs and angry and not in a good state of mind. And, you know, bringing it into the Essex murders, those happened on the morning of December 7th, 1995. Ken Jiggins and his friend, who was a farmer, Peter Theobald, they saw a metallic blue Range Rover. It was parked in front of a locked gate on Workhouse Lane in Redditon, Essex, which was like a small village-esque type town. Initially, the two men suspected that like the guy who was sleeping in the car might be like poachers. But once they looked a little bit closer, they noticed that the two men inside of it were dead. So they obviously called the police. Jiggins like called, and the other guy, Theobald, looked closer and saw that there was another man also dead in the back seat. So around 8:30 a.m. that morning, Detective Superintendent Ivan Dibley received a phone call that this triple murder had been committed. And a huge squad of policemen, jumped on the crime scene. It was winter, and they were just there to, uncover kind of what happened. They ran there. It was like a 40 squad team of policemen. I mean, that would be kind of alarming if there's three people found dead and it appears to be murders. And if it was a small town, clearly this stuff probably didn't happen that often there. So the passenger in the car was identified as Tony Tucker, who was Pat Tate's friend. He was 38 years old. He was his business partner. He's the guy, the used car shop that we talked about. He had suffered from a really bad facial injury, which was caused by a shotgun blast, and it just completely like blew off his face. And then in the driver's seat was 26-year-old Craig Rolfe, who was the third member of this like Essex Boys gang. He had also been hit by a shotgun blast to the side of his face, which left a large hole in the side of his head. And clearly he was taken by surprise when this happened. Like they weren't expecting it, because he still had his like foot pushing down on like the brake pedal of the car. Now, in the back seat, that was Pat Tate. His head was smashed through the back window after he was shot once in the head and once in the stomach. So, definitely from what investigators gathered when they were kind of looking at the scene, the victims really weren't prepared, didn't have time to react. Like it was just like, looked like it would have been like a sudden attack on them, just with how they were left. So they really, put together the pieces, trying to figure out the sequence of events for everything and just determine whether the killer or killers had been like sitting in their Range Rover with the victims or if they were like ambushing them from the outside of the car before they like realized what was happening. They didn't know if it was someone they knew. I mean, I'm sure clearly they thought it was, but they didn't know if they were like tricking them and sitting in the car with them, doing like a drug deal gone wrong type situation or whatnot. Now, Deputy Dibley said this is not an ordinary murder. It looks as if they were enticed down there. He said, as far as murders go, you don't get any more serious than this. The killer fired off 8 rounds, leaving the spent cartridges where they fell, possibly because it was too dark to retrieve them.
Now, Detective Dibley, I agree with you, but I would also have to say I think all murders are pretty serious and permanent.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement.
I think he was trying to say it was like pretty dark and like, maybe over the top evil, but it was just kind of funny. Like, this is pretty serious. Yeah, murder usually is. It's a permanent
I'd
thing.
say they all fall under that category, probably. And I don't know that, I mean, this one, what do you expect if you're gonna be in like a gang that like deals with drugs and violence, there's probably a higher chance of like murder for you than if you were just like an accountant that like knitted or something.
Knitted. Yeah, no, I get that. Maybe, spend more times in libraries and, maybe, book clubs and painting classes. Maybe those are some more risk-free hobbies.
Right, probably lesser of a chance. I mean, we've talked about some very sweet people on here who were not dealt very good cards, but they probably have much less chance if you're doing those types of things than what the Essex boys were engaging in.
Right on.
But yeah, from their investigation, they realized that, 3 shots were fired off in quick succession. First killing Rolfe, then Tucker. And it was basically, you know, it happened so fast. He couldn't really react. He didn't even have time. And Tate was shot in the abdomen. The gunman then reloaded the shotgun before shooting him twice in the head, and then fired another shot each into the already dead Tucker and Rolfe. And it was strongly suspected that Tate had been the prime target, and the others that were with him were just like his collateral damage. They think this because, you know, they did like an examination, like an autopsy, and found that Pat Tate had a combination of cocaine, heroin, and cannabis in his bloodstream, along with steroids. And, you know, he kind of was injured the most in that vehicle. So that's why they're kind of thinking he might have been the prime, not suspect, the prime victim, I guess, of who their target was. So yeah, they really, what was that?
I said, yeah, that'll do it.
That'll definitely do it. Investigators started looking for, you know, different leads that might explain why these three men, who were at the time considered low-level criminals, you know, they were like, why were they lured late at night and then ambushed and shot to death? To me, though, I don't know if it's because this is like a small town and like maybe not a ton goes on there. This isn't like that shocking sounding to me. Like, I mean, that's terrible, but like.
Well, I think, you know, when you hear gang in general and that kind of lifestyle, it doesn't really come as a shock to hear people getting murdered or violently hurt.
Right. Yeah. Cause like they're doing dangerous things and involved with dangerous people. It's just not that shocking as like the detectives are making it sound. Yeah. Which, I mean, they must live in a very or a pretty good area for like that to be like a shocking thing for them. But detectives soon learned that there were a lot of reasons why certain people might want to, you know, put harm on these three Essex boys. Now, Tate in particular had made many enemies because of just his violent manner that we kind of talked about before. You know, he had like a very explosive temper and anger issue. He would like beat people up. He like beat the pizza guy up just for hanging up the phone on him. So clearly he had made a lot of enemies along the way, due to just his angry nature. The detective said it was obvious to everyone who knew them that was going to happen. I was aware of it at the time and kept my distance. It wasn't hard. Several instances, you know, in the months and years leading up to the murders were just going over different people who may have been targeting them and trying to kill them. So Pat and the Essex boys were suspected also in the death of a 28-year-old named Kevin Whitaker. He died from an apparent drug overdose in November of the previous year, 1994. And Kevin Whitaker was apparently murdered because of an alleged drug debt. So people weren't sure if he overdosed because he was just taking drugs, but a lot of like hearsay was that it was like on purpose because he owed money for like his drug debt that he owed this gang. And even Tate's mother said that her son told her this when she visited him in a hospital after he was shot. So she's even like saying, oh yeah, he told me that he owed them money, so they like killed him with drugs basically. Now, a little bit more about Kevin Whitaker. He was found on November 17th, 1994, about 30 hours after he went missing, and his body was dumped by the roadside. You know, like I said, the first indications were that he died from a drug overdose, But again, it was originally Pat Tate's own mother who began to make these allegations, claiming that Tucker and Rolfe had injected Kevin with a drug that caused his death. Because she said that that's what her son told her. Her name was Mary Tate, Pat's mom. She strongly believes her son was innocent in the crime and that it was just his friends that had taken revenge on him. They think that they also were involved, Whitaker's friends, in the killing of her son and like the two guys in the car. So she thinks that it was like a revenge plot, basically.
And he helps old ladies cross the street, and he goes to church regularly, and
yeah. All the good things. All the good things he could do. So she was like set that this was what happened. She was like very, you know, convinced that that's what happened and why her son was murdered. However, detectives really did not believe that it had any connection to the other murders, because they just didn't feel that there was like enough evidence. They were looking at another death that was associated with the Essex boys again. That was of 18-year-old Leah Betts. She was a teenager in Latchington, Essex, and she was admitted to a hospital on November 11th, 1995, after she fell into a coma. This occurred 1 month before the murders at Reddington, and it was found that she had 4 hours prior to her hospital stay taken ecstasy and like MDMA tablet, and then drank 7 liters of water during a 90-minute period, and that caused her to die 5 days later. She was on like life support while she was in the hospital, and her death was definitely used in the British media as an example of using dangerous illegal drugs, particularly ecstasy, which apparently was very common in the 90s in nightclubs in Essex. So she was kind of brought up on the news several times. But in response to that, the police launched a really large investigation just to locate the suppliers of these drugs that she had taken, just because they knew it was becoming an issue where teenagers and young adults were taking all of this. And they were able to pinpoint a venue called Raquel's Club where the substance was bought. And it resulted in the arrest of 4 of her friends who also had been present at the house. And it was suggested that Tony Tucker and Pat Tate's gang controlled the supply of ecstasy in the nightclub where it had been bought. So this led to the other theory that the murders for these drug dealers, the Essex boys, were just another revenge for the death of Leah Betts. So a lot of theories going around. Clearly they like pissed a lot of people off and, you know, were involved in multiple deaths with their drug dealings. So that's kind of where their investigation was headed, trying to figure out, you know, who had the biggest revenge on their plate against these guys. I know, seriously, like, I feel like that would be hard because they've made so many enemies. It's like, where do we start? In May of 1996, a break in the case was made when 3 men were arrested during a police and customs drug operation. It was 52-year-old Michael Steele, 33-year-old Jack Womes, and a third man that was arrested and held on suspicion of importing drugs. So these 3 men were soon linked to the Essex murders, and facing a murder charge, one of the men, Darren Nichols, started to confess the role that he played in their deaths. So Nichols claimed to have met Steele, Womes, and Tate a few years earlier while he was serving a prison sentence for distributing counterfeit currency. And upon his release, he joined Steele's smuggling organization, which they would make trips to Amsterdam and back, you know, smuggling different drugs. And Michael Steele, he was considered a very sophisticated Essex drug smuggler. And in November of 1995, he supplied a consignment of weed with street value of around 350,000 pounds to Tate, Tucker, and Rolfe. So this was considered definitely the starting point, the like huge break for these murders. Clearly, these three men that were murdered were involved in this huge drug dealing. So kind of connected the dots for them there. Because it turns out that the quality of the drugs were so poor that Steele agreed to take back the cannabis and return a deposit of around 70,000 euros. And the money was paid, but Pate denied getting it and also failed to return one third of the drugs that were hauled. So he kind of screwed him over in their drug deal. And Mr. Steele was not very happy about it. Now, when Steele kind of
Sorry, I'm just thinking like, you know, I'm not in the drug business, but usually drug business 101, don't mess with their drugs or their money.
I know, like, I feel like Pat Tate just had this, like, from what I'm gathering, he just had this, like, I don't give a fuck kind of energy where he just felt like he was so, like, big and bad and scary that he could like do anything to anyone that he wanted without consequences. Okay. And clearly there were consequences.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, Steele was not happy. I guess Tate threatened to shoot him after making him beg on his knees. And he was just furious. He was like shouting that he would kill Steele in revenge for the incident. And Steele apparently, I guess, also developed like a close relationship with Tate's ex-girlfriend and told him of the threats. So they were not on good terms, just to say the least. So 6 weeks before the murders, Steele contacted Nichols and asked him to get a gun. Shortly after that, Pat Tate, Tucker, and Rolfe were invited to look at the farmer's field where this was part of the smuggling operation where the alleged drug plane would land. So Nichols told police what happened next. As Rolfe's Range Rover approached the locked gate at the bottom of the workhouse lane, Steele jumped out to open it, and then at that same time, Jack Womes, who was like Steele's right-hand man, leaned in and started just shooting the three guys inside of the Range Rover. Moments later, Nichols was called by Womes asking to pick them up. So he was like the driver in the operation. And as the two men got into the back of his car, he noticed that they were spattered in blood and realized what happened. Steele apparently said, quote, they won't fuck with us again.
No, apparently not. No, messing with anybody.
They will not be messing with anyone again. And when Pat Tate was found, you know, shot to death alongside his fellow two Essex boys, arrangements were made by his family to lay him to rest in January of 1997. There was like a horse-drawn carriage that led his coffin towards this church where they were like waiting to carry him out of the service, which is very like elegant sounding. I've never heard of like a, I mean, I feel like that's so old school to have like a horse-drawn carriage carry your casket, but yeah, police directed traffic because it was just crazy with all of the news coverage and everything. It was a 25-minute service. There were like different, people giving speeches and things like that. Pat Tate's headstone displays all of his funeral service and carries like a photograph with him that reads "Treasured Moments of Pat Terrence Tate, who departed this life on December 6, 1995, aged 37. Loving father, loyal friend, and brother, missing your smiles and generous heart, your presence will never leave us. Now you will walk with the angels looking down from God's great kingdom. Until we meet again, God bless. We will never forget you." And then, like, there were like these two white doves that were there together. It was like this whole thing, this whole like production. It sounds like the Queen of England died or something, like the way that it's being described for this like guy who was like a gang member, drug dealer. I don't know. It's just kind of
Terrible
funny to me.
person.
Yeah, right. And like, it's just kind of goofy to me, but I don't know. And Nichols went on to say that Steele told him that he felt like, quote, an angel of death because he felt like he had done everyone a favor by getting rid of these three men. He said, "I think I knew all along that they were going to do it." So with Nichols, turning them in, kind of telling everybody what happened, Michael and Jack went on trial in late of 1997. They were charged with murder. Nichols said that he had not a lot of choice, but he helped the investigation and he definitely pointed the finger of blame at his former friends because he says he was just the driver. He didn't know they were going to kill him, those guys, or anything like that. The trial lasted 4.5 months, and the court proceedings were definitely believed to have cost a ton of money. Wombs and Steele's lawyers claimed that Nichols had made up this entire story. They like denied it all and said that they had nothing to do with it. Now, on January 20th of the following year, the jury said they deliberated for like 4.5 days, and guilty verdicts were given for both of the defendants. And yeah, apparently the weight of the evidence had been like mobile phone records and different testimonies and just Nichols, account of everything that happened. So Michael Steele and Jack Wombs were convicted of the three murders and given triple life sentences. And Darren Nichols, then after this, was placed in the witness protection program. So he got like a brand new identity, like, and his entire family got new identities as well. Because clearly these were not the people to mess with.
You get an identity, and you get an identity, and you get an identity.
Right, literally. Sometimes I'm like, that would maybe be like fun. Like just starting over as like brand new people.
The entire town gets new names.
Right. Anyone who's ever talked to them just like becomes new people.
They changed the whole town's name as well.
Yeah. The town of Essex never existed. But yeah, like I said, so the murders of Pat Tate and like his boss Tony Tucker and then the other Essex boy Craig Rolfe was like a huge deal over in England, and it influenced, I guess, several movies over there about their time as one of like the most notorious like criminal gangs, just supplying drugs, and everything like that. So, like I said, if you're from England, you might be familiar with this story or seen like movies or shows on it or whatever, but yeah, I think that the funniest, not that it's like funny, but like kind of the funniest part to me was just the elegant funeral that they had with like the horse-drawn carriage and like the flowers and the doves and like the word, like the testimonies that people were giving to him when he was just like also prior described as like this horrific, horrible man who was like a drug addict with terrible anger issues and like would like beat up anybody who just like looked at him the wrong way, basically.
But isn't that how it usually goes? Like, they're a terrible person alive, they have records and rap sheets, but then once they're gone, they're like, he was a good man,
right?
You know, may the angels be with him. Honey, I don't think the angels are with him.
Maybe the angels of darkness.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Have you guys seen Ghost? They're more like big black swirly things that come and get you.
You're right. That's probably more where he's at.
Have you ever heard of the Reaper?
You're right. That was his friend. That was his escort to the afterworld.
Well, hopefully in his new reincarnation life, if they deserve one, or if he is allowed to try again, he becomes a better person in his next life. Maybe he learns from this idea of being in a gang that it's not a good idea.
Right. Like he's like a monk in this life, yeah, or something. Just complete 180.
Right.
That would be nice. That's a nice way of looking at it. Hopefully he learned his lesson and can make a better life for his future one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my little Essex Boys drug gang story.
Well, thank you for sharing. Yes, it was not a very nice story, not a hilarious story, but a little comical, a little chuckle here and there. And
right. Like I said, you know, you kind of know, feel like it's not that shocking to expect something like this to happen to people who were in gangs like this. So it's like when certain things happen, it can be, you can make light of the situation, I guess, or of the story.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I was watching. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I hope that the pizza boy was okay.
Right? No shit.
He never hung up on anybody ever again who was ordering pizza.
Before I got on here, I was watching. I didn't finish it. Apparently, there was a child sensation. She started on Musical.ly and then went to TikTok. I can't even remember her name. And it is so sad because I started watching it just today. She had a group. They were like kids influencers. It was called The Squad.
Okay.
And she started when she was really little. I'm trying to think of the name. Charlotte came in. She's like, oh my God, are you watching her? She was like so annoying.
I thought you were going to say like cool or like awesome, but she said annoying.
No, but come to find out, like, I think it gets like dark because it's called Bad Influences, the dark side of kids influencing.
Okay.
So I think this mom was like pushing her to like make videos and just, you know, basically making money off of her because she's a pretty girl and she was cute. And she kind of gives me a little bit of like Amanda Bynes vibes. Okay. Like when Amanda first started.
Yeah.
And so I kind of feel that. And then, I don't know, I'm not all the way through it, but then there's like rumors that, because she ended up being a YouTube sensation and she had like us call on a show called Manny about a man nanny. I don't know. Like all this stuff. It's probably like a lot for kids that were like younger, like past our generation.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's kind of interesting to see where it goes because the mom has not talked yet. So I'm assuming she's been arrested because it's all these other girls that were friends with this girl. Their moms are talking and the girls are talking. And it makes it sound like she just became like one of those moms that just pushed her kids to be in front of the camera, you know, kind of like,
oh, yeah,
Britney's parents.
Yeah, a show mom.
Yeah.
It's like, did they want to be famous and then they didn't get famous? So they're like, my child will be a star.
Yeah. Like she wasn't even in school because her mom would rather her make TikTok videos than be in school.
Damn.
Yeah, and it's just like she should be in school.
Right.
Her name was Piper.
Okay. I'm
And I
not
guess
super familiar with like many Musical.ly. I never had that app or
I think
anything.
that was after us. And like her mom's name is Tiffany.
Okay.
But yep, that's my Netflix doco that I'm watching right now.
Ooh, interesting. Might have to check that out. I don't think I've watched any recently.
Piper Raquel. But
Okay.
I think she was younger. She's younger than us. So that was been like, obviously, probably Charlotte's generation. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I know like probably more so her generation watched like Musical.ly and stuff because I
Yeah.
never got on that.
It's so crazy. Like, why push your kids to do that? Like, I don't understand. Like, I get it if they make money. But they need an education. They're 8 years old. They need to be in school.
Right. You know who I wonder if like how their situation is? You know that one kid, I don't know his name, but he's like one of the highest paid YouTubers. He would like test out toys, like he would just play with toys on his YouTube channel and he was like he's like a millionaire. And he's like a young kid. So obviously his parents were the one like filming him and like setting it all up and editing and everything. So I always like wondered like what that was like if he didn't want to do it ever and like they forced him to do it because like he's
Yeah.
making all of this money.
Right. I mean, it's not a bad gig if you're a kid to get paid to
Right.
play with toys, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I
But
hope that they're like saving at least most of the money for him and like his future and not just like spending it.
or like you think about the kids that just accidentally got rich, like the baby that bit the kid's fingers. He's like, "No, Charlie, no.
Oh yeah.
No, Charlie." Like,
Oh.
which is just such a cute, innocent video that went huge. You know what I mean? It's like, but they didn't
Right.
force him to do anything else. Like, that was his video. That was it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I like those 'cause they're just more like genuine, I feel like.
Right.
But yes, I'll have to check that out.
And then I finished the entire first season of Running Point. It was really cute.
What's that on?
Netflix.
Hmm.
It's Kate Hudson. She becomes president of a basketball team.
Oh, I've seen that preview. I thought that was a movie. That's a show. Okay.
It's a show. There's only 10 episodes. I did it all in one day because it was like she's like girl by girl boss vibes. Like, okay, like at first she's kind of like, you know, kind of like me, you know, clumsy, victim of circumstances. And then, unlike me, she finds her voice and she's like, you know what? No, F you. This is what's happening. And she's got, I'm gonna look up the actress's name because her co-actress is funny as shit too. And I know she was in something else.
They shot all 10 episodes in one day.
No, I watched them all in one day.
Oh, I thought you said they shot them all in one day. I was like, that's fucking impressive.
Okay, so Brenda Song is her
Oh,
co-host.
I love her.
Okay, I don't know what it was that I seen her in.
She was London Tipton in The Suite Life of Zack and Cody on Disney Channel.
Okay, that would not have been what I would have seen her in. I
She
feel like.
also is married to Macaulay Culkin and they have children together.
Okay,
Actually, I don't know if they're
no.
married, but they
She
have
was,
kids
I
together.
might have, the new girl. I might have seen her in the new girl. It says she was in that. But I feel like there was something recent that she was.
Did you watch Dollface on Hulu? She was in that.
Mm-mm.
No? Oh.
I seen her. What did I see her in? Well, anyway, she's freaking funny, and she gives badass vibes in this too. And she plays Kate Hudson's bestie, okay, slash co-worker.
Yeah, she's, I like her. She's good in like everything that she plays in.
There's got to be something else I've seen her in, because how else would I have been like, oh my God, I remember her. She's so funny. But none of the stuff that's listed is what I've seen her from.
Maybe you've just seen like clips of interviews of her or something, and maybe it's like sparking something.
Maybe it was just like a Facebook reel or something. I don't know.
Right.
But she's really funny anyway.
Yeah, I love her. She's great. That's cool they have that together. I'll have to check that out.
Yes. So that's a good one to watch. And she's just got like two idiot brothers that are in the company with her. And it's like, she's just, yeah, they're kind of like bring some comedy relief because they're just kind of stupid but funny. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel like that's totally, I don't have a brother, but that just sounds like what brother vibes would be. Just stupid but funny.
Yeah, I got that. Sorry, bro. I love you. Not that he's listening to this at all, because he's not.
You never know.
Yep. It's really driving me crazy. It says she was also in Wizard of Waverly, but I don't think that's where I've seen her at.
She only did like a couple episodes on that, like as a guest appearance or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she was just in like a reoccurring, like a TV series or something that I seen her in, and she was like a guest spot or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But whatever. She be funny.
She is. She crushed it as London Tipton. If you know, you know.
I'll have to go back and watch.
I feel like you might not like it just because it's a kid's show. I just like it because, like, nostalgia. Because I watched it, like, when I was a kid, but...
Charlotte watched some of it, and I think Pat used to watch it with Corbin.
She played she was, like, a hotel heiress. Kind of, like, playing... She was, like, dumb and rich. But funny, but like I feel like they kind of tried to like mock like Paris Hilton, and her name is London Tipton, and she's a hotel heiress and stuff.
Okay, so, and they're gonna do a season two, so I'm here for it, since I watched the whole season in one day. They're only 30 minutes long.
Now you have to wait like 2 years before the next one comes out.
It's like, come on, Kate. chop.
Crank it out. So, I hate that.
Right. But we'll be back next week.
Will you guys?
Yeah, better. I'm going to come and find you down and find you. We will find you.
We will find you.
So until then, you guys, we got to go.
Stay creepy.
Bye.
Bye.